Craig Bolanos, you're kind of a cash man when it comes to your record coming on this program and green on the stock market. We had it today. And, Craig, you know, I gotta say, I know it doesn't feel like this to every single person individually, and there's no doubt complaints at the grocery store about how much things cost, but Craig, this economy's rocking.
Listen, this economy's rocking, and if you're ever betting on the financial data, I've learned one thing. In the last 15 months, you bet the over, meaning you bet a hotter jobs, right? You bet hotter consumer confidence, and in this case, you look for a hotter GDP print. And you're right, it doesn't look good to everybody, but the truth is, we look at what the consumer's telling us, and that consumer confidence data increased again in December. I mean, we're talking the type of leap that we haven't seen since 2021. And what that tells you is people feel pretty good about job security, and that typically leads to robust consumer spending. Go figure, the GDP print was on the high side.
You know, what's interesting is that sentiment number, how we feel, the vibe, has not matched the spending until recently, because we still spent like drunken sailors in 2023, even when we told the pollsters that we didn't feel it.
Well, of course. I mean, John, but we all spent that way because we had a money tree planted in our backyard. I had a money tree. Didn't you have a money tree?
I don't think so. I got to go in the backyard and check.
Oh, you better go and check. Yes, because that we had stimulus in so many forms. That was expanded child tax credits. That was stimulus in the form of very low interest rates. I mean, come on. We're getting mortgages under 3. We're getting car loans at 0. We got student loans that started with a 4. It was a very robust period of time. So, you know, people maybe said one thing but did something else based on the finances.
I just want to make sure I understand. When you're saying stimulus, you don't just mean, although it played a part in it, the $1,400 check we got. You're talking about just the generic stimulus of low interest rates, not all government stimulus, but just natural stimulating situations.
Well, I would argue all of it would, listen, there's two types. There's fiscal stimulus. That's legislation that people pass through the CARES Act, through the American Rescue Plan, where we got checks of different denominations. But there was also tax packages that expanded refundable, child tax credits, the earned income credit. But then there's also what I call a different form of stimulus, monetary stimulus, which is, yes, lowering of interest rates, etc. All of that's just stimulus. And the printing of that money was a great background because consumers didn't feel that hot, but the stimulus gave everybody the opportunity to continue to borrow in order to spend.
We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There are a lot of uncertainties in the world that could blow the economy up to smithereens. We all know that. But when you just kind of look at the general trend of where things are going, the market, right, where we see these new highs reach in the S&P and the Dow and the NASDAQ, that's a forward-looking barometer, right? That's not necessarily we feel good right now, but the market often is looking, what, 6-9 months down the road? And it's not a perfect barometer, but it is a barometer, perhaps, of where this economy may continue to go in 2024. Maybe.
Maybe. And, you know, we said it all last year on your show. I'll say it again, kicking off January of 2024. We believed that there was a probability of a soft landing, a possibility of a hard landing, a recession. Those are the same words I use in 2024. So I remind you, if it looks like a recession, if it doesn't look like a recession where you live, if it doesn't feel like a recession where you work, it's probably not a recession, right, John?
Right.
And that's where we go. The trend is your friend, so don't fight it. Eventually, things are going to get tough. It's just not here yet.
Yeah, and to anyone out there that is so much of a bull, yes, of course there'll be another recession. We're going to live through many recessions. If we're lucky, we get to live through a bunch of recessions. It means we live a long time, but we're going to have to navigate that. And Craig is kind of the guy to do that for you, because Craig, I know, does a retirement stress test, which is really important. So he at Wealth Management Group can really help you kind of navigate the spending, the savings, the investing, all those choices. I want to give your number really quickly, Craig. 833-WMG-PLAN. 833-WMG-PLAN, Wealth Management Group. He's not going anywhere, though. We got a whole other conversation to happen after we get a look at weather and traffic. We've got Craig Bolanos still on the line with us from Wealth Management Group, 833-WMG-PLAN. That's 833-WMG-PLAN. Craig, anything else you want to add about the roaring economy before I ask you about an economy that's not doing so hot?
Well, yeah, John, I'm smiling because we don't just have bins and garages. This is America. We also have basements and attics. We're chock full of stuff. But you know who doesn't have basements and attics and garages? Not everybody in China. It's a very different place. It's a different consumer. And I remember talking on your show last year when China finally had a drop in population. Yep. And if you, and I know you had to see it because I saw your talking point for the second year in a row, China's population has decreased. And if markets are a forward-looking indicator of an economy, well, those China markets, the Shanghai Composite, it's not back to its all-time high. It's quite a bit lower. So what does that mean? It's probably not a good recipe.
Can you tell us why a declining population is bad for a country?
Well, at the end of the day, it's all about social services and how you're going to pay to take care of people. And we see this in America. If we don't have enough new people coming into America, and they come in through different ways, they come in by being born, they come in from immigration, then we're not going to have enough workers paying payroll taxes or income taxes to support those who are aging. And typically, these age wave demographics lead to country success. Why did Japan, which was all the rage in the 80s, fall apart? Simple. The country got old. What's happened in Russia? The country got old. At this point in time, you want to know who's on top in 50 to 100 years, even though it pains me to say it? It's probably India, because they've got the highest birth rate. China has officially joined the United States in less than 2.1. You know what 2.1 means, right, John?
Yep, for sure. I don't. What does that mean?
Oh, 2.1 is the number of kids that somebody needs to have in order to make sure a country doesn't age its population. And unfortunately, we haven't been there for quite some time in America. But I got good news. China's now joining us on the path to slower prosperity.
You know, I've been looking at forward-looking population for the United States for all those reasons that you mentioned. And if we did not have immigration, of course we do have some, but if we had no immigration, we would see a population decline. We are simply not having enough babies. So I know immigration is a hot political topic, and certainly we are talking about legal immigration, which adds a whole different complexity to this. But we need legal immigration if we're going to support our seniors today, tomorrow, and 50 years in the future, Craig.
Yeah, either everyone's got to start having way more kids. I tell my kids, I'm like, I fell short. Leslie and I have two boys, Connor and Gavin. That's only two. I'm pretty sure Finnegan, our 12-pound dog, he doesn't count.
He's not point one, nope.
No, he's not point one. So we either start having more kids in America or we find pathways for legal immigration. It's one or the other, or it's a foregone conclusion. But this China story, I just want to mention it. I mean, China's got a housing problem. China's had a pork problem. China's had an everything problem. And the truth is, we're looking at this through the lens of opportunity. If China finally gets around to start doing some stimulus packages, that'd be good for everybody. Because remember, we're in a global interconnected economy. I don't want China problems slowly washing into American problems. That's why we actually pay attention to these other economies around the globe for the clients of Wealth Management Group.
You brought me exactly where I wanted to go. And yeah, we're talking with Craig Bolanos from the Wealth Management Group, who knows all things about every economy, it seems, Craig. Yes. It may make us like puff our chests out a little bit and say USA, USA, that our economy is doing great and China's is not. But as you said, there's a lot of consumers out there of American goods. There's a lot of consumers here of Chinese goods. So we may want to be better than China, and that's fine and that's great. But you got to be able to manage what that gap is, because it could be a problem for us if they fall too far.
No, that's exactly right. Who doesn't want to be on top? I want to be in the pole position. Being number one is fun, right? I mean, it's fun. Let's be sincere. That being said, I think we just look at what's happened in China. Again, slowing birth rate, what happened in China, far too much stimulus, far too much borrowed money, and anytime you overbuild, what do you see? If you overbuild, prices go down in real estate. In fact, the same thing can be said for pork. Remember I said there's too much pork? They have a pork problem? That sounds weird for a financial show, but John, here it is. So much of China's economy is tied to the production of pork. We're talking hogs. And you might remember the swine flu, but the swine flu caused the price of pork to literally double overnight. Well, now that all the hogs are back and there's too much supply, it's actually hurt the price of pork, which is a major export in China. That's slowing down their entire economy. So there's a whole bunch of things that are happening over there as this country transitioned from one that was rural and agrarian to one that was industrial and city and suburban based. And it's a tough needle to thread. I wish them luck, but it's a big challenge. And so far, they're not hitting the ball out of the park.
Got a couple more minutes here left with Craig Bolanos. Let's bring it back to the States. And I want to talk about Tesla really briefly. They've been hit with, lower expectations. You know, they've had some issues in some vehicles that have made, anytime a Tesla catches on fire, it's news, right? Because people want to kind of go, oh, look at that EV. That's the future. But look at these cars are on fire. And, you know, they're interesting stories. But Tesla's doing poorly probably because, Craig, and correct me if I'm wrong, that they were the first ones out of the gate to really make EVs great. But they've got a lot of competition now, and that is something that is going to, competition obviously will make things better in the long run, but for Tesla themselves, that's hard when you got a lot of competition now.
It is hard when you've got competition, and let's be sincere, you're right, they were the first one out of the gates. They still have this notoriety, they still have this level of exclusivity, but the truth is, when you have all these rival producers coming in, and by the way, again, I'm not just talking about Ford and GM, I'm talking about all the rival producers around the globe, like the super low-cost producers in China. Don't you think Tesla wants to be selling into China too? Listen, it's going to be tough for them to make a magnificent turnaround. But if there's one thing I know, you probably don't bet against Elon Musk. And one of the things they have going for that company, even though the stock got hit here because of the earnings, they didn't look that hot when they came out here with the bell, is they can produce at a cost lower than some of their American-based competitors. I'm talking the big boys, Ford and GM, and that's going to allow them to stay in the game, and we'll see what happens. Lightning versus Cybertruck, to be determined, but it's an interesting story.
Cars and China and all things American economy, we covered a lot today, Craig. The retirement stress test is important for people. I know you do a lot. They can call you up, 833-WMG-PLAN, 833-WMG-PLAN, to really just see how everything, like your spending, your savings, things we talk about on the show all the time, investings, all of that. You ultimately want to have the money you need to live the life you want in retirement. Craig is one of those fine people that helps you out. Craig, as always, it's good to talk to you.
John, great to be back. We want to help people get retired and stay retired. Love your show. Thanks for doing what you do.
Wealth Management Group, 833-WMG-PLAN. We'll talk with Craig again soon.